Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. I'm Carly Duke, and if you've been with the Teen Life Podcast before, you might be wondering what's happening because there's some changes in music, the intro is a little different, and hopefully if you listened to last episode, we talked about that Chris is taking a step back from the podcast, and I have some new co-hosts. And so I'm so excited moving forward with the Teen Life Podcast. The goal is the same, to help you connect, to tell you about teen culture, to talk about topics and give questions, all that good stuff. But the format is going to look a little different, but hopefully it's going to be an improvement. You're going to love it. But let me intro, because I've got two new co-hosts. Let me intro the first one. And he has been on the Teen Life Podcast before. He is the program director of Teen Life. He has some past school experience, which I think is going to play really well into the podcast. And he's also a parent of a teenager, which, way to go. I mean, that has to just be a wild journey. But welcome, Tobin Hodges.
Hi, I'm super glad to be here. But yes, it is every day is a different day and a wild journey for sure. So not sure how much expertise I'm bringing to the table, but I can at least tell you what not to do, because I've definitely messed up plenty over the last few years.
No,
and it's still going too. It's not even like a, you know, like we're only like what, a third of the way through of the teenage years so far. So it's still got a lot to go.
You're just at the beginning. Our third podcast host is a youth minister. He's living in Oklahoma, so we're going to forgive him from that, because obviously Texas is better. But he's going to be our expert on teen culture, bringing the youth. But most importantly, he is my little brother, Caleb Hatchett.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Feel like finally got called up. Carly was maybe hiding me away, but I'm so glad to be here. And yes, I do live in Oklahoma, but I view it as a mission field.
Okay? Oh, I love that.
Still Texas at heart, but that is, Oklahoma is my mission field. And so, yeah, I'm a youth minister, been a youth minister for a couple of years, so still trying to learn, but still young and spry. So I think in my mind, my teenagers probably wouldn't agree, but I try to keep up.
I love it. So each episode, we're going to change up how the structure a little bit of the podcast. But today we're going to hit on sibling dynamics. Caleb's going to do Caleb's Corner with a teen term and a challenge. And Tobin's going to bring a trend that me and him are super excited about.
Very excited.
I don't know if Caleb's eyes might glaze over, but stick with us. It's going to be a great podcast. But let's start with sibling dynamics. Obviously, Caleb is the baby brother.
Yes.
In our family. I'm the oldest. We have a brother in the middle, but I think sibling dynamics are just so different. You've got the stereotypes of the only child, the oldest, the baby, the middle, who sometimes might feel forgotten.
And they're pretty true in our family. I'm the favorite.
We love you. Hi, Colby. We love you. But talk to us about sibling dynamics, because I think that's a big deal for teenagers who have siblings. Because just to like intro that, it changes over time. It's not going to stay the same. Those relationships don't stay the same their whole life.
Yeah, I feel like for us, just speaking of like personal experience, I felt very much like the little brother for so long, you know, just very, very visibly. Anytime I'd walk into a room and you're hanging out with friends, just sighs all around. And I think some of your friends somewhat liked me, but you know, I could tell at a certain point I was overstaying my welcome. And that was a lot, because I was very socially unaware. And so even if I was catching on, that's kind of how I felt for a long time, was just little brother. We're 8 years apart?
Seven.
Seven?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as I got older, that kind of developmental gap closed, right? Because the difference between like a 8-year-old and like a 15-year-old is bigger than like a 16 to like a 23. Is that the math? Is that right? I was a Bible major. I don't really use it much, but
yes. Something in there. Yikes.
Sorry. When you got back from college, though, I feel like that relationship kind of shifted into more friends, and even just someone that I looked up to. We'd get lunch like every Tuesday and looked forward to that every week. And I think a lot of that was like on your side, actually seeking me out and being intentional with me and started to feel less like the little brother and more like a friend. Whenever I left for college, you were the hardest goodbye. I remember going over to your house and like, you know, yeah, mom and dad are taking me to college, but like you had like a family, so you couldn't just go to Abilene with me. And I remember going to your house and like hugging you and was just like crying. It was horrible. But yeah, it's interesting how that relationship kind of changed and shifted.
That's interesting from the younger brother perspective too, because like I'm the oldest of three and two sisters, and when I left for college, I think that was the first time anybody had ever dealt with that. So the dynamics in the home when I left changed, and like my youngest sister is 15 years younger than me, and so I had a little bit of that as well, of like this, you know, like I think now as I've gotten older, it's definitely different. Like you come back from college and you kind of grow up and you become adults, you get real jobs and these things, and you have to be way more intentional. Like that's me as the oldest. Like I think that sometimes falls on me. I don't know if Carly, you felt this way, to kind of be intentional about those relationships. And I don't always succeed in that. Sometimes it's very hard to do, but it's interesting hearing that from the, like the baby's perspective. So I love that.
Yeah, and I think y'all are right. Like, it kind of goes through cycles. Because sometimes your rivals, my children, are at the stage where they will, like, punch each other and fight all the time. But then there are those, like, cycles of friendship. And that could be going away to college, maybe just growing up where that age gap seems different. But I do want to talk about, for our listeners, like, how do we think adults can foster good sibling relationships? Because I do think it is on the siblings, but when they're teenagers still and they're still in your home, that falls a lot on the adults kind of setting that up well. I'll say the first thing I kind of thought of is that I especially understand better now as a parent, but fair is not equal as far as each sibling is different. And so to be fair, that doesn't mean that every sibling gets the right thing, because I think that sometimes fosters resentment of like, I don't know, that's different. But we always joked about too, like Caleb was the baby and he got away with everything.
Yeah,
the stuff
I did.
That, like the stuff that I got punished for or the boundaries that I had, by the time Caleb came along, mom and dad were like, whatever.
I also feel like, that's mom and dad almost learning of like, no, totally. Whoa. Probably was a little too harsh on Carly. And so like, thank you for kind of paving the way for me to, and I didn't do whatever I wanted, but like I said, definitely the favorite.
But see, in my family, it was the opposite. Like I was kind of like the guinea pig that did the stuff and like had like less rules. And then when my sisters got older, it was like, well, Tobin did this, so we need to make sure we have this boundary in because Tobin was an idiot. And I don't want you to be an idiot. And so in our family, it was kind of the opposite. It was, and I was, you know, like I said, I was a pretty good, like Kyla said, I was a pretty good kid too, but like, I didn't have like a curfew like in high school. And like, they was kind of like, let's figure out how to parent as he gets older. And then we're going to take Tobin's guinea pig lesson and we're going to use that for my little sisters as well. And so it's interesting because mine was definitely the opposite.
How funny.
I think also creating time for, like, if you're an adult of multiple children, like, being intentional about making sure that they have time together, like you kick your kid off of their device, or like, you know, like, hey, let's just sit down and let's just play a game together, or like, hey, how about y'all go do this and then we'll come back an hour and we can do whatever you want. But also, I think it's important as a parent to have individual time with each sibling, so there's not any resentment built up between like, well, you always hang out with this, or you always do this with this person. And you know, kind of making sure that each kid feels individually loved. That way there's no resentment between the siblings to start with. And I think that kind of, that's really important as well.
Yeah, I like that. I also think at least our parents, like we had a culture of like, we show up. Like when I was in high school and Caleb was in, I suppose, elementary school.
Yeah.
He came to all the games. Like that's just what we did. Like he showed up to basketball games. And I think as a kid, he hated
it was
that.
It was so brutal. I remember asking my mom and dad, like, who invented basketball? They're like, James Naismith. It's like, I hate James Naismith. I hate him. I hate all these basketball games I'm having to go to. It was brutal.
But on the flip side, I do think you appreciated that, like, when I came back from college, I went to all your football games. Yeah. I showed up at the basketball games. Like, we go to the graduations. And when we can, even now as adults, like, we drove to White Oak, Texas to go to Colby's daughter's first birthday. Like, that's just what we do for each other. Like, yeah, we just have this culture of showing up. And when you set that expectation when they're younger, hopefully they're going to continue that later on as much as I can.
I feel like it very much was this family first thing. And I mean, I can look back at like countless times of, you know, it kind of starts with mom and dad setting the precedent of, remember, I was like raking leaves for, I think it was like Ricky Lewis's yard. He had this big tree and like they paid me to go rake all their leaves. And I'm like looking around and I'm like three bags in and there's not even a dent. Remember texting like the family group message and like dad was the first to respond saying, I'll come help you. And then Colby responded 5 minutes later, like, I'm on my way. And it was just really cool of like, yeah, like the family first thing. And I think piggybacking off like what Tobin said about creating time is, I know it probably wasn't intentional, but like, you know, I remember mom and dad would go to sleep. I'm in like elementary school, like fifth grade, and I can't sleep. You were always like a night owl and you'd be downstairs like watching TV. And I remember I'd sneak down and it was like kind of this cool, I think mom and dad at some point found out, but like, we're like, that's fine. You know, like if Caleb wants to stay up, spend time with Carly, do it. And I think just creating time or not even intentional, it starts intentional. And then I think it bleeds over into the almost natural.
And I think we're all talking about this Cleaver family, perfect scenario type thing. But I think we also should mention too, like if this is not what you have, like as a, if your sibling, if your children are not this way, or if you are not like this as an adult with your siblings or whatever, just, you know, maybe also recognizing that kind of what Carly said earlier, that like everybody's different and everybody has their own path that they walk down. But trying, I've had seasons in my life where me and my siblings have not been, at, you know, on the same page or see eye to eye, and kind of have stretches where we don't really want to talk to each other and, you know, have some ugly family stretches too. And sometimes it's just kind of reminding myself like, hey, this is still my sister. And like, I don't literally love what's happening, but like, I need to make sure that I am being empathetic to what they're coming from, especially now that I have my own kids and that is their aunt. You know, I don't want my kids to ever see their aunts in a different way, just because I have some stuff that I need to work through with them. Like I want them to always kind of have my sisters in a safe place, a pristine place, so that they can love them and not bring my baggage and our baggage, you know, sibling baggage to their relationship as well.
That's good stuff, Tobin. And especially I think as what you're saying, like as an adult, you're modeling that or just have conversations about it. Because if the answer is like, hey, I'm not where I want to be with my siblings, your teenagers can take that and you can talk about that and be intentional about that as well. Now, before we move on to Caleb's corner, I do want to give a teacher tip, because if you're a teacher listening, you're like, hey, this might impact my kids, but how does this change how I am at school? I do just want to point out every sibling is different. As a teacher or school staff person, don't compare them if you get multiple siblings over the years. That was one of the most annoying things, I'm sure, like when you're like, oh, well, Carly was a straight A student. Caleb, why aren't you like that? You know what I mean? Like you're setting those younger siblings up for failure if you're comparing them to the older sibling. And so make sure you remember, like, it's okay to talk about if you had a relationship, or maybe the flip side, maybe the older sibling was a nightmare and you're like, oh, not this family again. Here we go. And you're just coming in with these preconceived notions that aren't fair to the younger siblings.
Yeah, and we're kind of joking in saying it, but like this is legitimately one of the things that drove a wedge between me and my middle sister for a while, is that she was two grades younger than me, and we were both in band, both, you know, I was pretty active, and everywhere she went for 2 years, it was Tobin, oh, you're Tobin's little sister, and that really rubbed her poorly. She didn't like it, and like, I don't blame her. I would have hated it too. And so, yeah, just as a teacher, just kind of reminding yourself that like, hey, this is, there's more things here that you may not realize. There might be some baggage there that you might be opening some scabs on whenever you do that kind of stuff. So just, you know, make sure, just like we said with the parents, make sure every kid gets their individual time with you. The same thing as a teacher.
I feel like it's time for Caleb's corner, right? Or are we done? Are we done with sibling dynamics?
No, I'm ready for Caleb's corner. Let's bring it.
Listen, there's a term. We're starting with the term, and it's been around. I think the first time like I heard it was like these middle school boys at a spring retreat or a fall retreat that I did like last November. So I feel like it's been around for a bit, but it is sticking around. Like, I think it's here to stay. And that term is Riz. Okay. I had these middle school boys asking me, "Hey, you have Riz?" And I'm like, "What in the world?" And I, this is the first time like I felt like out of touch. And so I'm like looking it up, and it's basically like a short term for charisma, right? So how charismatic you are. But now it's like almost used as a term for like game. Okay. And so you have W Riz. Okay. W Riz, which is like, you know, W for win, you know, like you got great game. You have that W Riz. You can also have L Riz. Okay. Loser Riz. You have no game. And it was kind of funny at camp this year. We have the camp that we go to, like, I'm in charge of kids that like aren't my own. We basically lead groups of students from other churches. And I remember we were doing middle school, and like me and my wife Haley are there. We're introducing ourselves, and one girl goes, "Are y'all like together?" And I was like, "Yeah, we're like together. That's my wife." And all these middle school boys start like, "Whoa, W Riz, Caleb has W Riz." And then like the whole week, like these kids, like at lunchtime, were going up to girls, and it was just like Riz was like every other word. And so if that comes up, that's what it means. Short for charisma, and basically shorthand for do you have game or not.
I do think that this one's on the way out though, because now that NSYNC used it in a TikTok a couple weeks ago, that means old people have gotten a hold of it, and then the teens are going to run away from it. So
that's probably
us
true.
Old people are now using that term because we're waiting for an NSYNC reunion tour. And so the teens are already, you know, they're meeting when they're little meetings and stuff, and they're already talking about how, okay, guys, Riz is out. We can't use it anymore. So
that's
they're onto us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I have is kind of a trend that started when like a streamer, his name is Doug, did like basically a live stream of like he and his friends. I think it was like four people, and is called it the drive-through challenge. And it's just so interesting. And it's something that I feel like I would want to do if I had unlimited money, but I don't. So what it is, you choose 10 like fast food restaurants. You go through the drive-through and you say, "Hey, I'll have what the person in front of me ordered." Okay. And you can like, I think you can go to like two drink places and then like a dessert place. Like they did like Krispy Kreme. And the other rule is that you have to go to KFC for the chance of getting a chicken bucket. You know, there's always that off chance. So you have to go with like four people. I'll take what the person in front of me ordered, and you have to eat it all. And then you go to the next one and you try to get through all 10.
Yeah, I saw someone do this on YouTube. Like I said, I think it's more of a streaming thing, but like it can cost a lot of money depending on who you're behind. And also like by the end, think about 10 eating 10 restaurants back to back to back. And you might get like a family who went through and has a ton of stuff. That
they did like a calorie count, and I think it was close to like 10,000 that by the end of it all. Yeah. And so
that sounds awesome. Like I kind of want to do this myself. So
thank you.
Like, so I mean, I love this. I think this is the kind of thing I can get behind. I call myself a fast food connoisseur. So this sounds pretty great to me, but this is kind of like, it's kind of like a reverse pay it forward almost. Like you ever like get in a line, you're just like, I feel like I'm going to help somebody today. And then like you say, I'm going to pay for the person behind me. But inside you're also thinking, please don't be like a $50, you know, taco order or whatever. Right. You're just like, be a drink, be only a drink. Cause like, you know, that's human nature, but it's just kind of like a reverse version of that. I kind of love it. So,
but I feel like too, it could be fun. Like, obviously, as a family, maybe don't go for 10 and blow the budget. But just like, hey, we're going to go through like a drink place, a food place, and maybe a dessert place. And we'll just order, hey, take what the person in front of me ordered. Maybe don't even tell your kids. Be like, hey, we're going. And then you get up to the drive-thru window and just say, hey, I'll take whatever the person in front of me ordered, and just wait for their reaction. Because I bet it's solid.
And then you start the trend of if your kid is picky, you can do the whole like, well, if you're hungry, you'll eat thing, which is, you know, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. So
it's a trend. You got to force it. Yeah.
Parents of picky kids right now are selling, like saying out loud in their cars, like, there's no way I could ever do this. So. Yeah. If it's not a chicken nugget Happy Meal, like my kid's not going to eat it. Kind of.
It's part of the risk.
Yeah.
Part
of the risk. For sure.
Maybe go through Chick-fil-A, McDonald's. That's the place.
It's like food roulette. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Carly, are you ready for? I think I'm going to call this Tobin's trend or trends with Tobin. I don't know. Like, I haven't decided yet. But for Tobin's trend this week, I feel like I'd come in with a bang. At least you're going to appreciate this because you and you, if you are listening to this, just a little peek behind the curtain. Carly and I over the last year have realized that we are like basically versions of each other. And pregnant Carly was like my food twin, and I loved it. Like, cause like anytime she snacked, I snacked. We went through a whole like jug of peanut butter filled pretzels at the office. And so me and Carly have way more in common than we realized, I think, when I first started working here. But I want to talk about Taylor Swift's Eras Tour today. And
yes.
Caleb, my goal is that by the end of this conversation, you will at least understand and appreciate the greatness of Taylor Swift. So if you, so I, like I said, I'm new here, but I am definitely an old Swiftie. I went to the concert when it was here. I went to the Eras Tour. I super did not belong because most people my age probably had their daughters with them. And I was just like chilling in my Taylor Swift shirt with my other friend. Who's also a guy, and I didn't even take my wife to it. Yeah, a lot of people saw my Instagram post and were like, "Where's your wife?" I'm like, "She's at home. I'm broing out tonight with my best bud." So I'm not ashamed of that. It is what it is, but I had fun. So I have some stats, and then I will offer it to our queen Carly, and she can kind of tell what she wants to talk about. So. Did it just finish up the North America leg? I think it was like 2 weeks ago, maybe something like that. So it just finished the North America leg.
Yeah, she's on a break right now.
Mm-hmm. And then she's about to go across the ocean and do a European and like a world tour. And then she's coming back because, you know, there's money to be had and she's going to do another stint. But as of right now, I did this information a couple weeks ago. I got most of my info from like Time Magazine and New York Post Wall Street, you know, whatever that one's New York paper's called. This one is, she did 52 dates at 20 different stadiums. On November 15th, 2022, she sold over 2.4 million tickets in pre-sale in the U.S. alone. It is the most by an artist in a single day. Each show is over 3 hours, which is the most incredible part of this, I think. On December 15th, 2022, the Billboard reported that they had already grossed $554 million and they're projected to get $591 million from the U.S. leg alone. The Wall Street Journal said it's on track to becoming the biggest concert in concert history with a potential to gross over $1 billion. And Newsweek reported that it's going to have $2.2 billion by August of 2023, so last month. She's already broke, or she's going to break Elton John's farewell tour during her international leg, so that she'll be atop of that. The average gross per U.S. leg was $13 million. So every time she comes to a city, she's walking away with $13 million. Not only on her tour, she had an 80% spike in her music streams in the month after her tour started, and she's going to produce nearly $5 billion in consumer spending in the U.S. alone. That's billion with a B.
Is that like consumer spending on like just her or like basically the places that she's visiting, she's bringing business to like those cities?
If I read correctly, it's basically on her merch, on ticket sales, on hotels and venues in the area, mm-hmm. on the city, like food in the area and stuff like that. But basically she is literally stimulating the economy of each city that she's going to. It's not just about her numbers too. She has donated to food banks in every city. She's exclusively employed local businesses for like crew's needs, like food and stuff like that. She's done a lot of bonuses to the crew. And like, I mean, that's been documented that she's like even gone above and beyond that. She purchased double the carbon credits to offset her emissions for the trucks and stuff, which is incredible. That's a bunch of facts, okay? Just to kind of give you like the behind of it. I just think it's incredible of all those things are amazing. The thing that I came away from this is just the fact that she has gripped everyone. Like everyone has got an eye on this and an opinion on it. So with all that said, Carly, I've just spit out a lot of things. I've talked a lot of things. What are your thoughts on the Eras Tour?
If you have a teenager, especially a teenage girl, tickets were incredibly difficult to come by. I mean, mm-hmm. you just heard all the numbers that Tobin gave, but getting tickets.
Too, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying struggle. For our audience of teen people, like this was a huge deal. And it was difficult to get to. It's all over TikTok. Like Taylor mm-hmm. TikTok is a huge thing right now, especially because of her link to Travis Kelce right now. I mean, she's everywhere. She is a mastermind. You're going to hear about her for a long time. But I will say, if you haven't heard, she's releasing a movie in theaters. Mm-hmm. It's so smart. Me and Tobin could probably do a full 2-hour podcast on how much of a mastermind Taylor Swift is. I will hold back. But she's doing a movie release. I was trying to look up the stat real quick because I think like when they first opened pre-sales, she sold 25 million mm-hmm. in pre-sales for a movie.
Crazy.
At $20 a ticket at AMC. I think that might have also just been AMC. And I she's it doing is. It.
Yeah. And, over she's, and they're just like, adding dates too. Like they're adding times. Like it's like that was just the initial, we're going to do this. We're going to start selling tickets this day. And then they have since added time since that too. So
yeah. Wild. So if you're listening to this, that is coming. It's releasing October 13th. Mm-hmm. You probably still have time to get tickets. Be a hero for your daughter if she didn't get to go to the Taylor Swift concert, or son, bring yeah, friends.
Right. And
like, I think that would be so fun. My wife
can be a hero for me and get me tickets to it as well. So Jody, if you're listening, be a hero and get us tickets.
Hey.
So.
I went to the concert and I'm going to the movie mm-hmm. again. I'm going with friends. We're going to dress up, make the friendship bracelets, invite friends, make it fun. Like it's just this huge deal. And I do agree with Tobin, like just outside of how great we think she is, what she has done is impressive. Like you just can't deny the stamina that it took, the amount of tickets that she sold, like what she's doing is crazy. And I think I've heard like people are saying that like she is single-handedly resetting the economy for America. Like it's just really outrageous.
I'm not a Swiftie, right? I tend to be, you know, the guy who, you know, we're going to mission trips or going whatever and all the, play Taylor Swift. And I'm like, no. Okay. I'm not doing that. Cause I can't sing along and I should be able to sing along. Okay.
That sounds like a personal problem, sir.
The radio's for the driver.
Yeah.
But from the outside perspective, yeah, it's so impressive. Like, I don't care, like, professional football players, like, these people that she is in the best physical shape of anyone ever. 3 hours and 15 minutes straight of, like, singing. It's crazy. Like, that to me is insane that she can, like, sustain that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, and one of the things that came out of the Travis Kelce thing was that he tried to talk to her when she was in Kansas City, but her thing is that when I'm at the stadium, I'm not talking to anybody because I am about to have to sing for 3 hours. And so this is really nerdy. Like, I'm a music guy, and so I will tell you, when I went to the concert, the thing that blew me away was not only was she actually singing, because like I'm pretty good at telling if they're actually singing, she was actually singing. She's not changing the keys of her songs usually, like at least I didn't notice it. Like they're in the original keys from the tracks. And she's just going the whole 3 hours and 15 minutes. Yeah. Like there's no breaks really. I mean, there's like maybe some 1 or 2 minute costume changes, but basically for 3 hours solid. I went and saw Pearl Jam last week, and Eddie Vedder is a phenomenal vocalist, even if you can't understand what he's saying half the time. But they did a 3 hour show. And you could hear in his voice about towards the end of it, he was about done. And now given he had just been sick the week before, but it still sounded great. But like just the fact that she's able to not only walk 50 yards back, because that's the thing we're not even going to talk about. Her set design is literally probably 60 yards from screen to the end of the stage. And she's just pacing essentially back and forth the whole time. So she's getting a workout on top of singing high quality vocals for three and a half hours. And so, you know, like, bands don't do that. Like, they stand behind a microphone and play guitars and stuff. And there's so much about this that even if you don't like her, you got to have to kind of give her respect for what she does, for sure. Mm-hmm. And the marketing genius of it alone, like, even like coming out with her version of albums and like, mm-hmm. yeah, like Carly said, I could go on for 2 hours and we were probably getting close. So I probably should stop myself right there, set up that boundary. You know, boundaries are good. Set up that boundary of I'm gonna stop there and save that for another day, probably. So
yeah, a future episode. That's what I think.
Just an ear.
It's actually gonna be a spin-off podcast. It's Teen Life Taylor's version. So yeah, there we go.
Oh my gosh, I'm in.
I mean, yeah.
Open. I love it.
Did we just come up with a great idea? I think we did. So
I think we did. I think we totally did.
I would listen to that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
Might
that.
Might not join you guys on that.
Okay, so to wrap up, I want to ask y'all a question. And that is, I don't know if y'all have seen this trend on TikTok, but how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Since high school, probably. I mean, is that the Trojan horse one?
Just the Rome.
Like, clearly did not listen very well, I don't think. So public school, public education right over here. Yeah, I'm not at all, probably since high school.
Oh.
Or maybe movies.
Okay, Caleb.
For me, like, it's daily. And, like, I've seen this trend. And, like, the first time Haley, my wife, asked me, I was like, think about it. I was like, probably every day. And she was shocked. But part of it, too, is, you know, I read my Bible, right? And that's kind of set in the era of Roman Empire. But also, outside of that, Haley got mad at me. She was like, your opinion doesn't count now. And I was like, no. I think about the Colosseum frequently. The Roman aqueducts, Roman concrete's crazy. We still don't know how that was made, but yeah, no, the Roman Empire is in my head frequently. I don't know why.
So I would be fascinated. So do some research if you're listening and ask your teenager this question and report back, because I'm interested to see if this translates to teens. But the TikTok trend is, and it's not everyone, like Tobin, you're not like the only one who doesn't think about the Roman Empire, but I guess there is a like pretty big subset of men who think about the Roman Empire, like, if not daily, every week, which is just wild. And so I'll post the TikTok if you want to watch it. Like, I think this girl asked, I don't know if it was her husband or boyfriend, how often do you think about it? And he like started getting defensive. And it's been since then, you can just find all these videos of these guys being like, actually, I think about it all the time. Yeah. And so for women, it's wild.
I think we just figured out the differences in our algorithms, Caleb and I, is that maybe I'm watching too much Taylor Swift stuff and whatnot, and that's why I'm not getting the Roman Empire things, but Caleb is. So that's there we go. We solved the problem, guys.
We figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, with that, we are going to wrap up this episode. We hope that you subscribe. We're going to keep going, and I'm just so excited for where this podcast is going. Make sure you share it with a friend. And just as a reminder, teenagers are not a problem to be solved.